南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Namo Myo Horen Ge Kyo. Hello everyone, thanks for being here. I hope you're in good health and secure. I felt so energized as I ended that last video that I just thought, well, I'll continue with another. I'll record two videos today. Why should there be a limit? I may record another after this one. Let's see how it goes. So we ended with the words, whether you follow or disobey the Lotus Sutra, whether you believe or abandon it, those two quotes from a statement saying, the Lotus Sutra will open the way to Buddhahood once you hear it, are truly impressive words. This is in Nichiren's words, or some close approximation, this translation, right? Sheng Chao states in his postscripts to the interpretation of the Lotus Sutra that Tripitaka master Kumarajiva told King Yaoxin of later Qin, quote, while in India, I traveled all around the country to study Mahayana teachings. One day, when I studied under the Grand Master Suryasoma, he transmitted the Lotus Sutra to me while patting my head, saying, quote, the sun of Buddhism, the sun as in the star, the sun of Buddhism sets in the west with its residual light shining in the northeast. The Lotus Sutra is the teaching related to the countries of the northeast. You should respectfully spread this sutra, end quote. And then Nichiren says, Japan is located to the northeast of India. Venerable Eshin declares in his Essentials of the One Vehicle teaching, quote, the people of Japan are mature enough to accept and believe in the Lotus Sutra. Regardless of their status and place, they all have conviction in the Lotus Sutra. All the people, clergy and laypersons, rich and poor alike, wish to become Buddhas. If there is a teacher of a school who does not accept the Lotus Sutra, we need to see whether he believes in another teaching as an expedient or as the true teaching. If he believes in another teaching as an expedient way, he is respectable because he believes the teaching to be an expedient means to spread the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo. The Vimalakirti Sutra speaks of this, quote, realizing the existence of various evil deeds without supporting them, one should expound the Dharma for the people according to their minds through the good expedient wisdom, end quote. It is regrettable, however, if this teacher embraces it as a true teaching, these other non-Lotus Sutra teachings, for it is preached in the Lotus Sutra, quote, evil people in the future will be suspicious of the Buddha preaching the one vehicle teaching. They will slander the Dharma and fall into evil realms. End quote. It's always on us personally. This is a self practice. And if you doubt that, and worse, if you doubt it to the point where you go practice earlier teachings as a means of getting enlightened, you're going to end up in the worlds, the lower worlds, the worlds of suffering, of stress and obstacles, and you will not reach your full potential. because that's not what those teachings are for. They're leading to the Lotus Sutra, where you can achieve your full potential. You're not going to understand differentials, equations by studying geometry. You're just not. You need to know geometry to get to calculus, but you won't understand calculus by studying, no matter how hard, geometry. It's obvious when you put it in those terms, isn't it? Nichiren goes on, regarding the wonderful of the Sutra of the Lotus Flower of the Wonderful Dharma, the Saranga Pundarika, Grandmaster Tendai declares in his profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra, quote, wonderful means something mysterious, absolute, and beyond expression. Well, anybody who's participated on this channel for any length of time knows how much I struggle with words to try to encapsulate this very thing. So, yay verily, right? Quote, the Lotus Sutra is called wonderful because it is the hidden teaching of the Buddha, end quote. Hidden not by the Buddha, but hidden because of the constraints of this samsaric existence. Our physical reality is the first thing we confront when we come out of the womb, well, within the womb. So this is our point of reference for everything. Unfortunately, that point of reference being so dutifully enforced by one another and our own experience, we miss what's really going on. We miss the grandeur of the entire engine of existence, this universe. It's not until much later that, I'm starting to understand now. Right? Or, quote, it is named so because the sutra is the supreme ultimate dharma like nectar, end quote. That's why it's wonderful. Yeah. This life is magnificent if we could just pull our noses from the physicality of it. As for the dharma, Tendai's profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra states, quote, the dharma means the law of provisional and true teachings with 10 realms and 10 levels of suchness. It's the thing we discuss, the suchnesses in the first recitations of Gongyo, yeah? Nyose so, nyose in, nyose en, nyose ka, nyose ho, nyose, right? Consistency, beginning, end. The reality of all things means that each of the 10 realms has the 10 suchnesses or aspects. When the reality of all things is considered, the 10 suchnesses or aspects of 9 realms are provisional because those are the worlds of delusions, while those of the Buddha realm is true because it is the true world. Because the 10 realms represent the reality of all things and their non-duality in their form or of provisional or true teachings. It is said also, quote, the Dharma is so named because the provisional and true teachings are not separated from each other as the ultimate truth. The meaning of the lotus flower is explained in the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra. The lotus flower is the simile of the provisional and true teachings. The flower is applied to the provisional, and the lotus is the true. Putting the two together, the provisional and the true teachings are one as the lotus flower. In other words, we recognize the symbolism of the lotus flower because it blooms at the same time as it expresses its seeds for continuation, moment to moment, life, death, life, death, life. Yeah, life, death, life, death, life, death. Birth, death. All a mechanism, a momentum, a inertia through life. See, death isn't the opposite of life. It's the opposite of birth. It is also stated, quote, It shows the true result, attainment of Buddhahood, of the eternal Buddha, or Buddha-ness, and reveals the non-duality of the provisional and true teachings. Grandmaster Chang'an speaks of the sutra in the second prologue of the Profound Meaning of the Lotus Sutra, quote, "The Buddha's voice teaches the way to Buddhahood, which is called a sutra." There we go back to the voice again. The sermons were all oral. This is why we chant, because it's all about singing. Singing being the human invocation of the mental state of Buddha-ness. Pretty simple, really. How often have you heard a song growing up that just encapsulated all your feelings at a particular time about a particular thing? And you would sing that song. You would learn every verse, every word, every intonation. It's a song. It's a chant. In my opinion, the Pre-Lotus Sutra assert that according to the Hinayana or Tripitaka teaching, when one has delusions, the six illusional realms come into existence. And when one eliminates delusion, the four holy, it says here, I hate this stupid word, the four exalted realms appear. Learning, realization, bodhisattva, Buddhahood. The same thing is said in the common teaching. The distinct and perfect teachings in the Pre-Lotus Sutra says that the 10 realms come out of mind. The Hinayana Tripitaka teaching accepts the fact that the suffering and comfort both in the six realms, hell and the realms of hungry spirits, animals, anger, asuras, and human beings, and heaven or rapture, and for the four ways of birth, from womb, from egg, from moisture, and from metamorphosis, stem from the mind of people. In other words, this is all experiential. Therefore, it is assumed that the elimination of mind will lead to the elimination of the cause and effect of the six realms. No. See, this is Hinayana. It's still hung up on the body, the self. The Mahayana teaching accepts that the 10 realms come out of the mind. The Flower Garland Sutra says, mind creates the five aggregates of all existence, form, perception, mental conception, volition, and consciousness, just as a skillful painter does. We've heard that allusion before, right? There is nothing which cannot be made by the mind in the world, quote unquote. Quote, to create the five aggregates of all existence, end quote, is done in the 10 realms. Therefore, it means to create the Buddha land and the laws of the mind. As I've said before, if you're looking for the land of tranquil light or the ultimate infinite life, Buddha, it's not in the name of Amida. It's in your mind of perception. It's yours to instantiate. It is here and now. In this land of tranquil light. This teaching shows that the mind appears in the form of the Buddhas residing all over the universe in the past, present, and future. The Flower Garland Sutra says, quote, if you are to know all of the Buddhas residing in the past, present, and future, observe your mind and think that mind creates the various Buddhas. It's all about the mind. The attitude, the intent, it's about the way you experience life. It's yours. In the Pre-Lotus Sutras, committing the 10 evil acts with a strong will cause one to fall into hell. Committing the 10 evil acts with an average mind will cause one to be born in the realm of hungry spirits. Never satiated, always longing. Committing the 10 evil acts with a weak will cause one to be born in the realm of animals. You're just following every whim. Practicing the five virtues of benevolence, righteousness, politeness, wisdom, and fidelity causes one to be born in the realm of asuras, manipulative. Right? Worshipping the three treasures and upholding the five precepts cause one to be born in the realm of human beings. Worshipping the three, right? Human beings, in other words, stress, anxiety, so on and so forth. Worshipping the three treasures and observing the 10 good precepts. These are all different divisions of early teachings, yeah? And what this is saying is that that's as far as you go. This is what your experience of life is. Cause one to be born in the six heavens in the realm of desire. Sitting in meditation with delusions causes one to be born in the realm of form and non-form. You're still stuck on stuffness. Keeping the five precepts, the eight precepts, the 10 good precepts, the 250 precepts, and the 500 precepts. Oh my goodness. Rules, rules, rules. Plus, perceiving the principles of suffering, voidness, impermanence, and no self cause one to be born in the realms of Sravakas or Pratyeka Buddhas. Why is that? Because all of their teaching revolves around self or no self. And as we've read many times, it's been a while, no self is self. Because to think of not something is to acknowledge something in the first place. You see, that's a vicious circle of ego. That's why this strong division between Hinayana, Tripitaka, and Mahayana. Practicing the six paramita and aspiring for Buddhahood by making four great vows, as well as to keep the five precepts, the eight precepts, the three kinds of pure precepts, causes one to be born in the realm of bodhisattvas or Buddhas. The Buddha nature is not preached in the Tripitaka and common teachings. They merely call the aspiration of bodhisattvas for Buddhahood, Buddha nature. Though the distinct and perfect teachings say that ordinary people have the Buddha nature, the distinct teaching does not say that the two vehicles of Sravaka and Pratyeka Buddha have the Buddha nature. The perfect teaching of the pre-Lotus Sutra, like the distinct teaching, does not say that the two vehicles have the Buddha nature. Thus, all of the teachings expounded in the pre-Lotus Sutras are imperfect and provisional compared to the wonderful Dharma of the Lotus Sutra. The Lotus Sutra is named the Wonderful Dharma because it expounds that each of the 10 realms mutually possesses the characteristics of the other 9 realms. The other 10, actually. Which means that all of the 10 realms are equipped with the realm of Buddhas. In the mutual possession of the 10 realms, each realm includes the other 9 realms. They keep making this error of translation, I think, because what they're trying to drive home is that Buddha, there's not 10 different Buddha realms. That Buddha interpenetrates all of them. So Buddha-ness is the 10th realm of all the other 9. So this is how they get the 100 realms, right? 10 times 10, not 10 times 9. It's not 90 realms, right? It's 100. So it's confusing. And I'd rather they just said the 10 are in the other 10. Be much easier to understand, yeah? As a result, the 10 realms have other 10 realms. There it is. Consisting of the 100 realms of all phenomena. So stop switching around, right? The second facet of the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra says, quote, the one realm of all phenomena equipped with the other 10 realms of all phenomena means the 100 realms of all phenomena. I'm just going to correct it on the fly now. It is not only in the Lotus Sutra that the 10 realms are mentioned. The cause and effect of the Ten Realms is revealed in the pre-Lotus Sutras as well. The reason why the Lotus Sutra is regarded as the wonderful Dharma is because the Sutra expounds the mutual possession of the cause and effect of the Ten Realms within the 3,000 that we experience in each and every thought moment. Some of the pre-Lotus Sutras expound that bodhisattvas can become Buddhas, but not Sravaka, which pleases the bodhisattvas, disappoints the Sravaka, and causes others below, such as men and gods, to be in despair. Other sutras preach that the two vehicles try to escape from the sufferings of the six realms by eliminating delusions in view and thought, while bodhisattvas dare not eliminate evil passions in order to be reborn in the six realms and save ordinary people. Some sutras say that bodhisattvas gain enlightenment immediately and become Buddhas, while others say that it takes a long time for them to do so. Still others preach that when bodhisattvas and Sravaka hear the teaching that ordinary people can reach Buddhahood, they think that the teaching is not applicable to themselves. Other people's inability to become a Buddha is your inability to become a Buddha. For others to become a Buddha means for you to become a Buddha. The elimination of delusion in view and thought by sages means our elimination of delusions in view and thought. 42 years have passed without knowing this doctrine of the mutual possession of the 10 realms in the pre-Lotus Sutras. However, when the doctrine of the mutual possession of the 10 realms is expounded, the realm of bodhisattvas is added to the realm of Sravakas. Sravaka are therefore given the merits acquired through numerous difficult practices which every bodhisattva had striven to achieve without practicing the six paramita or practicing for long periods. Then, unexpectedly, Sravaka are called bodhisattvas, and even a greedy person or a prison guard who tortures people are so called too. Likewise, we can say that the Buddha with the rank of perfect enlightenment is a bodhisattva, with the rank of equivalent enlightenment as he had once been while practicing the bodhisattva way. The simile of herbs chapter in the Lotus Sutra says of Sravaka, what you are now practicing is the way of bodhisattvas. The Sutra of Infinite Meaning states, though you have yet to practice the six paramita, the merit of practicing the six paramita is naturally provided and placed in front of you. This proves that we ordinary people are bodhisattvas who have completely accomplished the six paramita, even though we have not practiced them. Proof that we ordinary people are called those who keep the precepts, though we do not observe them, is provided in the, quote, appearance of the stupa of treasures, end quote. The treasure tower, right? Chapter in the Lotus Sutra, which says, quote, he will be a man of valor, a man of endeavor. He should be considered to have already observed the precepts and practiced the rules of frugal living, end quote. And now we're going to get into a question and answer section. So what's the first question that Nietzsche imposes for himself after having read all of this, right? It's a lengthy one. Various sutras other than the Lotus Sutra also state that an evil person can become a Buddha. But you must be distinct. See, language is tricky here. That doesn't mean that by being evil, one can become a Buddha. No. What it simply means is that somebody who's had horrible practices in life for a very long time in this life can immediately change it to Buddha, right? Moment, crap, moment, gold. This is why chanting the invocation of that gold, if you will, as a standard diamond, I don't know, pick something. It's not important. What's important is the mental state, attitude, intent. Yeah. Various sutras other than the Lotus Sutra also state that an evil person can become a Buddha. It's not just the Lotus. It is preached in the Flower Garland Sutra that 500 evil people such as Devadatta will become Buddhas in the future. The Futko or Fucho Zamai Sutra states that an evil king, Ajatasattu, will become a Buddha in the future, and in the Sutra of Mahayana Dharani is the story of Vasudeva, who had gone to hell because of his evil deeds, but was granted future Buddhahood. As for the enlightenment of women, the Bosatsu Shotai Sutra says that any woman can become a Buddha. As for the enlightenment of beasts and birds, the Agama Sutra says that a pigeon will be a Buddha in the future. They're missing the context, though, that all these, yes, it's true. But when? Yeah, they don't tackle that. Future, what is that? Lifetime after lifetime? Not Buddhist. The enlightenment of the two vehicles is mentioned in the Sutra of the Mahayana Dharani and the Heroic Valor Sutra. The enlightenment of Bodhisattvas is mentioned in such sutras as the Flower Garland Sutra. As for rebirth in the Pure Land by ordinary people bound by evil passions, the Sutra of Meditation on the Buddha of Infinite Life, good old Amida again, says that even, quote, the lowest grade in the lowest class, end quote, will be reborn in the Pure Land of the Buddha of Infinite Life, no matter how serious one's sin. Understand that when that word of reborn is used here, remember? Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. Birth, death, reborn, death, reborn, death, reborn, moment to moment. That's an aha moment. How are these enlightenments, thus revealed in these various provisional sutras, different from the assurance of future Buddhahood of the two vehicles, a dragon girl, Devadatta, and Bodhisattvas, in the Lotus Sutra? Also, there's no doubt that they all attain Buddhahood in these various sutras, even though there are some differences between them and the Lotus Sutra. What do you think of this? Answer. It is easy to answer your question based on the teachings passed down to me, which I hold dear. After hearing my answer, you will clearly see that the Lotus Sutra is superior to the various other sutras and determine whether or not it is indeed possible to become Buddhas in those other sutras. However, I cannot write this down on paper because it is the secretly treasured doctrine of the Buddha. Come chant with me, right? I can't write it down because that's subject to misinterpretation. Words. That's a clever invitation to come chant with me. Question. Why is it the wonderful Dharma called the 3,000 existences contained in one thought? Thought moment. Answer. Grandmaster Tendai, after perceiving the 3,000 existences contained in one thought, doctrine, expounded many teachings, such as the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra, consisting of 10 facets, the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra, consisting of 10 facets, the Samadhi of Bodhisattva, the Shoshikan, Introduction to Meditation, the annotations on the Vimalakirti Sutra, the commentary on how to eliminate four misconceptions of body, feeling, mind, and self, and the annotations on the doctrine of the Dhyana Paramita. Without explaining the 3,000 existences contained in one thought moment doctrine, what he expounded were only 10 realms, the 100 realms and the 1,000 aspects. However, there exists the great concentration and insight, 10 facets, which he expounded to the disciple Grandmaster Chang'an, in the summer of the fourth month, when he was 57 years old, at the Yuchuanshu Temple in Qingdao. What he wrote in the first four facils was only concerned with such doctrines as the six stages in the practice of the Lotus Sutra and Buddhahood, the four kinds of meditation, and not the 3,000 existences contained in the One Thought Doctrine. Beginning with the fifth facile, however, he discusses the 10 objects, 10 stage meditation, revealing the 3,000 existences contained in One Thought Doctrine for the first time. Grandmaster Miaolo recommended this to people of the latter age of degeneration, saying in his annotations on the Great Concentration and Insight, quote, Grandmaster Tendai's doctrine of spiritual contemplation is based on the 3,000 existences contained in One Thought Moment Doctrine. So on and so forth. Those who seek his teaching must not think that there is an ultimate doctrine of Tendai's except this. The numerous doctrines expounded in the 60 facils and 3,000 pages of writings on the Lotus Sutra as interpreted by Tendai, three major writings of Tendai, 10 facils each, and Miaolo's annotation on them, also 10 facils each, are not enough to perceive the true intent of Grandmaster Tendai. Instead, we should master just the first several lines on the 3,000 existences contained in One Thought Doctrine, in the fifth facile of the Great Concentration and Insight. The important statement in the fifth facile of the Great Concentration and Insight reads, quote, one moment of thought possesses 10 realms of all phenomena. Each of the 10 realms also has the 10 realms of all phenomena. There it is, 10 and 10. Why is that so hard? Making a total of 100 realms of all phenomena. Because each of the 100 realms has 30 factors of existence, the three factors of existence, living beings, environment, and the five constituent elements of living beings, multiplied by 10, as each of them has 10 aspects, so on. The 100 realms of all phenomena possess the 3,000 factors of existence. These 3,000 factors of existences are contained in one thought. Basically describing a thought as a moment to moment. This is how we perceive time. Grandmaster Miaolo interpreted this, saying in the annotations on the Great Concentration and Insight, quote, know this, in both sentient and insentient beings exist 3,000 factors of existence in one thought. Therefore, when they become enlightened, one body and one thought will permeate throughout the realms of all phenomena according to this wonderful principle of the 3,000 existences contained in one thought moment. And consider that. My constant repetition of the universe as the engine of life. Our moment-to-moment existence. Then you're sitting there and you're saying, how does a rock have a thought? That's not the point. The rock exists in your thought moment. Its very existence. Remember, everything happens in the mind. The experience happens in the mind. Does the rock experience being a rock? No, but you do. And your experience of the rock is far more to the point of your existence than whether the rock perceives itself as you perceive it. Because as I've shown in the fountain analogy, and you can search that on this channel, if 100 people walk by that rock, they'll all see a different rock. Does that mean the rock is changing form every time a different person walks by? No, because the perception of the rock is in the mind. You've got to get the central point. When Grandmaster Dengyo of Japan dug the ground to build the main temple on Mount Hiei, a key with eight tongues emerged. Later, he took the key with him when he sailed to Tang, China, where he met Venerable Dao Tzu, the seventh patriarch of the Tendai school and a disciple of Grandmaster Miaolo, and was initiated into the Tendai doctrine. Grandmaster Dengyo was so genuine and intelligent by nature that Dao Tzu was delighted to show him the 15 storehouses of Buddhist scriptures built by Grandmaster Tendai. 14 of them were opened, but not the last one. Grandmaster Dengyo then requested, "Please open this storehouse." Venerable Dao Tzu replied, "There's no key to this storehouse." I believe that the Grandmaster Tendai will appear someday again in this world to open itself, to open it himself. Well, that's not Tendai doctrine. So I don't know what's wrong with the translation there, but no self-respecting Tendai Buddhist would have said that Tendai was going to come back in a future life, right? This is a colorful illusion, something. Anyway, Grandmaster Dengyo then took out the key that he had brought from Japan and opened it. So this is all, I don't want to say hyperbole, but it's a storytelling way of saying that the perspicacity of Dengyo as a student and a scholar of Buddhism was sufficient to unlock the merits and the insights in that final storehouse. Not an actual key in an actual door with the reincarnation. That's all flowery talk for what I just said. When it was opened, rays of light generated in the storehouse brightened the room. Looking for the source of the light, they found it coming from the very sentence on the 3,000 existences contained in one thought. In the fifth facet of the Great Concentration and Insight, it was gracious and wonderful. Venerable Dao Tzu, who transmitted the Tendai doctrine to Grandmaster Dengyo, bowed before his disciples, saying, quote, "You are the avatar of Great Master Tendai." In this way, all the books and scrolls of Grandmaster Tendai that had been kept in those storehouses were brought to Japan. So they're talking about the scholarship of Dengyo and how so impressed were the holders of Tendai's doctrines when Dengyo explained to them what he saw in this last storehouse of treasures, of writings of Tendai, that they could see in Dengyo the brilliance that their own master had left behind. So he was obviously the, what would we say in colorful language, right? The possessors, the lineage intact through this new bodhisattva, this new conduit of the teachings. Yeah? And because he was that, that's how the teachings of Grandmaster Tendai that had been kept in those storehouses were brought to Japan. At present in the main hall of the Enrakuji Temple on Mount Hiei are the 25th chapter of the Lotus Sutra, World Voice Perceiver Bodhisattva, copied by Grandmaster Tendai, and the Great Concentration and Insight recorded by Grandmaster Chang'an. Four major non-Buddhist schools in India. 1. Self-nature, substance of all things and phenomena, the Kapila school. The other power, all phenomena and things generated by an external cause, Uluka school. Dual power, all phenomena and things generated by internal and external causes, the Shyaba school. And fourth, the spontaneous power, all phenomena and things generated neither by themselves nor by external factors, non-Buddhist school of naturalists. There are three categories of non-Buddhists. One, those who believe in teachings other than Buddhism. There are 95 of them. Two, those who believe in Buddhism but stay at the level of Hinayana Buddhism. Yeah, still today. And three, those who believe in Mahayana Buddhism but stay at the level of expedient or provisional teachings without knowing the Lotus Sutra. Not to say they don't know it exists, but they don't study it. The self-nature of the Lotus Sutra is not what non-Buddhists think to be, because we possess in our hearts all living beings of the 10 realms. We have in ourselves the realm of Buddhas, let alone those of all living beings. Therefore, to become a Buddha now does not mean to be a new one. So critical to understand this. So when it says that we have the 10 realms of all other forms of life, are there moments when one has been tempted to be a thief or a liar or a great savior or name personality type with their characteristics? We all have that potential. This is why we hear stories in Buddhism that you want good friends. In other words, friends who lead you toward enlightenment. Not friends who you forgive their faults and then eventually be influenced by their faults to the point where you then become not only implicit but explicitly the very thing that are their faults, because you've allowed it to fester and grow within your own life potential. We have the potentials for all of it, everything. What we enforce, influence, and inculcate into our being moment to moment is who we are. I want to be Buddha, don't you? That's what I want to invoke and enforce in every moment. Therefore, to become a Buddha now does not become a new one. Another important point. We're not all separate Buddhas. We all experience Buddha-ness, the life engine of the universe. We all have access to that because we are all from that. But we're so particularly obsessed with our local stuff that this is what keeps us in the lower realms. Makes us stress. Anxiety, fear, so on and so forth. The other power in the Lotus Sutra, too, is not what non-Buddhists consider it to be. For other Buddhas are contained within each of us by nature. That seems like a contradiction, but there are other mental faculties to enlightenment. I'll say it that way. They also manifest themselves in us ordinary people. At this point, I am omitting a discussion of both the dual and spontaneous power. Because the pre-Lotus Sutras do not make it clear the mutual possession of the 10 realms, those who adhere to these sutras must reject the 10 realms in order to become Buddhas, or the 9 lower realms in order to become Buddhas, say it that way. Therefore, they claim that living beings cannot become Buddhas until even passions and delusions are eliminated, those other realms. But see, because they're interwoven, this is an incomplete teaching. And he's talking about pre-Lotus Sutra, right? Consequently, they maintain that getting rid of characteristics of human beings, heavenly beings, and evil people must be accomplished first in order to become Buddhas. Grandmaster Miao-Lo called this, quote, the Buddhahood sought by rejecting and voiding the delusions of the 9 realms, end quote. Those who believe in the pre-Lotus Sutra see the Buddhas that appear in front of them as beings of the 9 realms. They believe this is due to the mysterious and divine powers of the Buddhas, because they do not understand that the Buddhas naturally possess all realms. Right? As I've said before, enlightenment doesn't mean you wipe out everything and now everything is anew. Nothing changes, except your perception. All of the things that have been obstacles and problematic in your life, they don't go away. It's just that they cease to be obstacles and problematics in your life. Your mind is changed, altered. You now perceive the true nature of all phenomena. So you're not affected, influenced by, which isn't really the objects, is it? It's your own avarice, your own connectivity, your own assigning characteristics to. identification with. That's where all the suffering comes from. The anxiety, the fear of loss, the need to have more, the lower realms. See, Buddhism is so consistent in this message, but we can get lost in the words and the storytelling and miss that point entirely. Please don't do that. Where are we time-wise? Okay, that's enough. I'm going to continue with this in another video. My voice is starting to go out on me, so I guess two videos in one day is probably, I don't know, if I rest up my voice, maybe I can do another one tonight. I don't know. It's not a test. I'm just babbling. I am so appreciative of your participation in this. All I want is for you to get greater conviction, greater confidence in your practice. Declare your Buddha nature, your Buddha-ness. Live in it. See how it throws waves of energy out from you into your environment. Your life will demonstrate to you the effect of that. You will see it. You will experience it. And if you've had a recent experience, by all means, as others have, share in the comments. I love to hear about successes in your practice, right? Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe. Like if you like. That also helps. Use these videos to share. That might help you in your endeavor to influence others. Don't just do it indiscriminately, of course. Use wisdom. Download the audio podcast. Use the websites, all free information. If only for yourself, great. If it's a tool you can use for yourself to help answer questions of others, believe me, I understand that. That's why I created the website in the first place. And with that, I will let you go. I will see you in the next one. Thank you so much. Take care of your health. Be kind to yourself. Bye for now.